Our text this morning is the epistle reading we have heard from 2 Peter chapter 1, which Peter reflects upon that time of the transfiguration that he experienced on the mountain with Jesus and with James and with John. What an experience that must have been. First of all, Peter was privileged that he was invited by Jesus to accompany him up to the Mount of Transfiguration, Mount Tabor. I've seen it over in Israel. Along with James and John, they accompanied him as they climbed that mountain, and he had an unbelievable experience. He saw in the flesh Moses, the great lawgiver, Elijah, the great prophet. There they were, talking to Jesus. And Jesus was transfigured. He was changed in appearance. He shone like the sun. And to top it all off, a voice from the Father from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." What an experience. They wanted to stay up there and continue to enjoy that. But no, they had to go back down the mountain. But I'm sure he was eager to tell the other disciples, the other people they experienced. But Jesus said, "Don't tell anyone until after I die and rise again." Well, this is some years later now. He's writing about this event. How they had to go back. They had to go back down from the mountain into the valley among the people who didn't have this experience. The needy people. They needed healing. They needed food. They were griping. They were complaining. They didn't understand what Jesus was about, what he was doing. They had to go back down the mountain. But now, he could share this great experience that he had, seeing Moses and Elijah. And I'm sure he told all kinds of people about that. And I'm sure some of the people said, "Wow, that's a great experience." And some of the people probably said, "Really? Moses? Elijah? They've been dead for centuries, Peter." You saw this bright light, Jesus shining like the sun. You sure you weren't out in the sun too long? That you're seeing these things? Go on, Peter. Well, Jesus, Peter says, "I was an eyewitness, I was there," but then he goes on to say, "If you don't believe me," he says in our text, "we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable." They had the scriptures, which told about the coming of the Messiah. And he goes on to say that these scriptures are reliable. He says, "No prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." He shared with them what says in the scriptures is true because it comes from God. And that's the message we have for us today. God's word is true. It comes from God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We don't have the eyewitnesses here. Wouldn't it have been terrific if your guest pastors these last week, instead of retired pastors, you had Peter, James, and John to speak to you? That would have been something, wouldn't it? But they weren't available. So you got what you get. But more importantly, you've got the Word. That's the legacy to us. The Word, which is inspired. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all Scripture is inspired by God. That makes it unique. In John it says, Scripture cannot be broken. We say it does not err. Sometimes, we might find some passages hard to understand. You ever find that? Some things are difficult to understand. What do you do then? I would hope maybe you'd check the other portions of Scripture. See if you can get greater understanding. Or maybe it's good to get together with other Christians, some kind of Bible study. Sometimes together we can help each other to understand. Or sometimes we might just have to say, I don't know. We'll get the answer to that one in heaven. Until then, we just simply accept it as it is. Because it is God's Word. Whether we understand everything or not, we understand the simple things that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's through Jesus that we have salvation. We understand all that we need to understand the most important things. Yes, thank God. We do have the Scriptures as God's inerrant, inspired Word to lead us in the right direction. Unfortunately, if some people probably doubted Peter's message of the eyewitness, are there people today that doubt the truthfulness of the Bible? You bet there are. All kinds of people, more and more. Think of the Bible as just an old book. A nice book, to be sure, but a dated book that we need to update according to our own understandings from time to time. How tragic. I once knew a hospital chaplain who shared with me, he says, I'm not so sure that when people die, they really go to heaven. I wonder if that's not the end. He said he saw his task as helping people just to adjust and accept what was happening and be at peace with that. And I'm wondering if he was spending too much time in the hospital and not enough time in the Word. I knew a fellow pastor who claimed that he thought it was probably wrong for us to ask God for healing in prayer, because he didn't believe that God was actively involved in human history at this point. What happened, happened. Apparently he had forgotten Jesus' command to ask what you need. It will be given to you. Maybe not always in the same way, but it will be given. It will be answered in the right way. Several years ago, a large Lutheran denomination was formed through several mergers. And so they had to write a new constitution. You have to do that. But those who wrote the constitution said they didn't include the words of the Bible as being inspired and inerrant. And some people asked them about that. Have you mistakenly left that out? And they said, no. Those words are troublesome. They can be hard to understand. They can be misunderstood. We're better off not confusing people by using words like inspired and inerrant. Well, others said, it's not confusing. It's pretty clear. But they were not heard. The Constitution did not include those words anymore. And now in the seminaries, that's not what's taught. That the Bible is inspired and inerrant. And I say, how tragic. Because when we say, I think, we can go in all kinds of different directions. And that's what's happening. Indeed, it's happening in many denominations today. So-called Christian denominations that look on the Bible just as a historical document. And what's happening is many of those are coming up with new statements on morality, what's right and wrong. And interestingly enough, a lot of those statements kind of go along with what's happening today, what you see on TV and the movies and the newspapers and the media and everything else. And that's kind of popular with a lot of people because it kind of justifies what they're doing and what they're thinking. But tragically, it's a whole lot different than what the Bible says is true all too often is left behind. How tragic. I cannot prove to you that the Bible is true, that's inspired, it's inerrant. We believe it because the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts and called upon us to believe its promises and to believe it's true when it tells us what's right and what's wrong, and that we're sinful. There's a Savior, and his name is Jesus. Also, Peter, James, and John could not prove that they saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus transfigured that day. But do you think they shared it anyway? You bet they did. And we continue to share that God's word is true. The eyewitnesses are gone, but the Bible is very much with us. And that we're thankful for. Now, some people might say, those of us of this persuasion, worship the Bible. I hope not. Although, sometimes we have to be careful. As a pastor, I can't tell you how many times over the years people have offered to give me old Bibles. It was Grandma's Bible or Aunt Martha's or whatever. At first, I eagerly accepted these old Bibles. I've got quite a collection, but after a while, I said, no, I've got enough. But I always disappointed people because then they thought, what am I going to do with it? We don't have room for it. You can't just recycle it, can you? Well, yes, you can. Because this is just ink and paper. It's not the word you're recycling. If something's worn out, it can't be recycled. We don't worship this as if this is some good luck charm or something like that. But the message cannot be recycled. The message is still there. And thanks be to God, we have all kinds of Bibles that are available. A lot of countries envy us for that. Thank God we have God's Word. No, we don't worship the Bible. The Bible is not our God. I compare the Bible to a roadmap. Or in more contemporary terms, a GPS. That shows us the way. You want to get someplace, we used to look at the roadmap. I still like maps. We used to look at the roadmap, now you put it in your GPS, and you follow it in that direction. Now we all know the stories of the GPS leading us in some strange directions, don't we? We know that. And sometimes that happens with roadmaps or GPSs and so on. But the Bible, the infallible Bible, the inerrant Bible, does not err in leading us to Jesus. In fact, it says that in closing parts of John. It says, these the words were written so that you might know that Jesus is your Savior. And believing in him, you may have life in his name. And so looking to Jesus, we sure don't worship the Bible. But it's sure a good roadmap, an infallible GPS that leads us to Jesus. We do well to follow it. When we go off on our own directions, we'll end up in a dead end. We will. Sometimes we get there, don't we? A dead end. We have to turn around and go back again. But if we go back, I pray that we go back to God's Word. Because this is what God has given us today to lead us to Jesus and our salvation. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.